In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people, and enkindle unto us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated in you, O God. We will be recreated in you, O God, shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so we continue on to becoming the priests God created us to be. And that means we are icons of Christ. And the way we become icons of Jesus Christ is by surrendering ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this on our own. And again, we all got the Holy Spirit. We've all been baptized, huh? We're all ordained, and that's all nice. But if I must come back to you as we focus on the letter to Timothy, and as we focus on this from Paul, he says, I want to remind you, I'm sure you know this, I want to remind you of chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, I want to remind you to stir into a flame the gift of God bestowed when my hands were laid upon you. So remember, Timothy was a bishop. He was a priest, of course, and he was a bishop. And yet Paul had to tell this bishop, let me remind you something, bishop. He didn't call him bishop then. But you need to stir into the flame the gift that God gave you when we laid our hands upon you. And sometimes, fathers, we need to be reminded of that too, that we need to stir into the flame the gift that God gave us. Now, again, often I like to tell a story when we're talking about, and I do a lot of confirmation retreats, or I used to, in our diocese, I don't know what in your diocese or different places, but it's juniors in high school. And so these kids are making everything else, and oh, they're going to get the Holy Spirit, and most of them just are going to get confirmed because their parents are making them. But what I say to them is, I say, listen, it's like you have a glass of milk, right? And it's an old analogy, but you have this glass of milk, and you want to make that milk chocolate. What do? Well, you take some Hershey syrup from Pennsylvania, and you squeeze it into the glass of milk, and you squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, and you might have a whole inch of chocolate in that glass. Well, what is it? It's white milk with chocolate in the bottom. When we were confirmed, when we were baptized, when we were ordained, God filled us and poured into us his Holy Spirit. But for some people, that Spirit has been sitting there throughout their whole life. They haven't stirred into a flame. Like, what do to make that chocolate? You take it and you stir it up. Well, how do we stir up the Spirit in our life? You know, when I was in Rome on sabbatical, there was a guy who came, and he's the only priest with a doctorate in preaching from Harvard or whatever. And so he was talking to us priests, the 32 of us, about how to preach. He was horrendous. I was just like, really? You know, never speak for more than 3 minutes on a topic. Then you have a transition, you go to another. I'm like, oh, shut up. Really? And so I just raised my hand. I said, excuse me. What about anointed preaching? Because if we don't speak with the Holy Spirit, we need to keep our mouths shut. It's just that simple. That God ain't, no one's going to be converted by us telling them jokes or making them laugh or, oh, I got this great insight when I was doing my theological research this week. Nobody cares. They usually fall asleep. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. The only thing that changes people is the Holy Spirit, not us. Our job is to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit use us to bring people to himself. That means we ourselves need to have this devotion to the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate, soon universally, the feast of John Paul II. I just got my reservations a couple months ago because Easter Monday, I'll celebrate my 25th anniversary of priesthood. And so me and my classmates, one is Father Ed Losey, he's over in the congregation of clergy over there. My other classmate's Father Nick Rao, and then myself, the three of us were ordained in 1989. And we will go over Easter Sunday, and we'll be there Easter Monday, and then we got connections, so we're going to have a mass in one of the chapels in St. Peter's Cathedral for our 25th anniversary. And then we're going to be there for the canonization of John the 23rd, and John Paul II. Now, John the 23rd is who we were born under, and John Paul II is who we were ordained under. And so, God willing, we'll be there for the canonization. Well, I've always had great love of John Paul, because I don't think anyone in our lifetime has changed the world more than this one man, John Paul II. He's the one that really transformed the world in so many ways. And what was his key? Well, one was his devotion to Our Lady. And even when Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, verse 8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you are to be my witnesses." Huh? That was my scripture. Every morning before I wake up, I talk about opening the Word of God and letting the Spirit of God speak. And so this morning, that was it. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you are to be my witnesses." Notice it comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from us. Then, and as the chapter goes on, they prayed for that gift. And who did they pray with? Mary. That Mary, the spouse of the Spirit, is the one who'll help us to really surrender to the Spirit the way she did, completely, fully, 100%. And so, what happens when he was a young boy, when his father was still alive, his father came to him and gave him a prayer, and he says, "I want you to pray this prayer every day of your life." And it was a prayer of surrender to the Holy Spirit. And so John Paul II prayed the prayer to the Holy Spirit all the days of his life. And I think that's what gave him the power to change the world. The power to be the one, I think, of all people, helped get the communism, the wall tore down, to bring the church into where we need to be. How many people are John Paul II vocations to the priesthood? Huh? That he had this power which came from the Holy Spirit. And it's the same that got to be with us. You know, years ago, someone says, "Hey, Father, where do you get your strength to do what you do?" Because even if I'm very, very, very tired, if I'm doing a parish mission, when I do a parish mission, it's 2 hours a night, you know, nonstop. I can easily speak for 2 hours, Father, in case you're wondering. But I can, 2 hours every night, and I go, what happens? And I'm not a wallflower when I'm speaking, huh? And even here, this is killing me to stay behind a podium, you know? I'm like, I jump up and down, I run back and forth, but they're videoing it, so I have to stay right here. But the reality is, people say, "Father, where do you get your energy?" And I always say it's always from the Holy Spirit, huh? Years ago, as Wesley once says, "The Holy Spirit sets me on fire, and people come to watch me burn." That what has to happen to us is whenever we speak, we got to surrender to the Spirit of God sets us on fire, and then people watch us burn. Burn with love for Him. Burn with love for people. And so that daily surrender. Now, the way I do it is every morning I have a prayer of surrender, and I'll give it to you. You probably already have it, but last time they said, "Why don't you give us one? Why don't we?" I said, "Look it up, fathers. You can do this." But anyway, it's the prayer of Cardinal Mercier. You know Cardinal Mercier, and he has this great prayer, and I always give it to people, and when I do a parish mission, it's the last thing I give them, and I'll give it to you. But here's what Cardinal Mercier says, and I give the introduction and the ending. He says, "I am going to reveal to you the secret of sanctity," which we'll talk about later, "and happiness. Every day for 5 minutes, control your imagination and close your eyes to the things of the senses and your ears to all the noises of the world in order to enter into yourself. Then, in the sanctity of your baptized soul, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, speak to that divine spirit saying, 'O Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. Tell me what I must do. Give me your orders. I promise to submit myself to all that you desire of me and to accept all that you permit to happen to me. Let me only know your will.' If you do this, your life will flow along happily, serenely, and full of consolation, even in the midst of trials. Grace will be proportioned to the trial, giving you the strength to carry it. And you will arrive at the gate of paradise, laden with merit. The submission to the Holy Spirit is the secret of sanctity." Let's go back to Jesus. Yesterday, I asked you to spend time with Mark 1:1:1. Most of you maybe did it. Most of you maybe did not. And to spend time with where Jesus, the way he became in his ministry, all began with him knowing he was the beloved Son. But that ain't where it ended, it's where it began. Right after it talks about him knowing that he was beloved to the Father, it says, the Spirit led him into the desert. So Jesus, who was God in his humanity, had to be led by the Spirit. So too with us. If Jesus was led in the Spirit and then he could do battle with Satan, gentlemen, we have done battle with Satan all the days of our lives, huh? And I don't know if you believe in the devil or not. You should, for goodness sakes. If we as priests don't believe what the church teaches, that would be a problem. But the reality, like when I talk about my spiritual director was the exorcist of the diocese, he was the exorcist of the diocese. I watched him perform an exorcism once. It took 6 hours. Huh? The seminarians were up in the seminary, and it was in the seminary chapel, and they were really, had to change their underwear. They were so scared after all the things that happened. But the reality that the devil comes against us, that we have to do battle. And if we're going to win this battle against the principalities, it says in Ephesians 6, if this is going to be something we're going to win, it's going to happen by that surrender to that Holy Spirit. And so every day, again, I don't know if you read Protestant books ever, but there's a great guy called Francis Chan. He's a Protestant minister, and he writes some great books. He has a book out called Crazy Love, and one of the questions he asks I always love, because he says, what if you could go to heaven? You will live forever. You will go to heaven. When you go to heaven, all your friends will be there. All your relatives will be there. Everything you ever wanted will be there. You'll have peace for all eternity. The only thing that won't be there is Jesus. Would you go? Now, of course, we all say, well, of course I would go, because that's what I'm supposed to say. You know, no, of course I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go because Jesus wouldn't be there. You know, but in your heart of hearts, really? If you could live forever, you'd be happy forever, you'd get everything you want. But Jesus wouldn't be there. Would you go? Because to answer the question is really to say where we are with Jesus Christ. Do we truly love him above all things created? Huh? When I went on that one priest retreat I talked about, Father was talking. He was ordained about 30 years, and he was talking about the day he got ordained. He was hearing his first confessions. And as he was hearing confessions, you know, a couple days after his ordination, of course, after he was hearing confessions, one of the confessions he heard was a religious sister. And then after confessions, he went and knelt to give thanksgiving to God for being able to hear confession. And the sister came up and knelt next to him, and she says to him, Father, can I ask you a question? And Father says, sure. She says, do you love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? And he was just kind of like shocked by that. Like, what do you mean? Do you love Jesus with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength? And then he realized that he had went through, and he was a life or two, he went through all the seminary, was ordained a deacon, ordained a priest, and he said nobody ever once ever asked him if he loved Jesus Christ. I don't know about you fathers, but I went through high school seminary, college seminary, two different major seminaries after I was thrown out of one, was ordained a deacon and ordained a priest, and nobody ever asked me if I loved Jesus Christ. So, gentlemen, we could actually be ordained priests without loving Jesus. People take it for granted. Well, of course I'm a priest. I don't buy that at all. I don't buy it at all. I have the people who have treated me worse than any other people on this earth have been priests of Jesus Christ. By far. That is in no way an exaggeration. By far. The worst I've ever been treated by any human being has been by priests of Jesus Christ. So just because a person's ordained, I do not take for granted that they love Jesus Christ. I don't take it for granted for me either. That's always the question. Why do I do what I do? And so the one who gives us this is the power of the Spirit. And again, in another book, this Francis Chan, it's called a book. It's a great book. I even have it with me now. I go through it again and again. It's called The Forgotten God. And the forgotten God is the Holy Spirit. And even amongst us, sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we think about the charismatics or the charismatics or the charismaniacs, whatever it happens to be. And we think they're all nuts and different things because they're always talking about the Holy Spirit. But we don't really talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the core of who we got to be. The Holy Spirit is the core. He is that which lives within us. Huh? He makes us temples of the Holy Spirit. He makes us temples of the Almighty God. Huh? And so one of the questions the guy asks, another thing, he says, could you imagine if God came to you and says, I'm going to make you the best football player there ever was. I am going to live inside of you. Would you expect great things from that football player? He says, I will be inside you and I am going to play football inside of you. You would think that nobody would be able to get near that football player. He would be the best ever, 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 ever because he had God playing inside of him. Whoa. Gentlemen, God looked at us and says, You don't have the power to live the Christian life, but I do. I will live inside of you, and I will make you a saint. I will live inside of you, and I will make you my saint. Do we live that way? Do we focus on our strength, or do we focus on our weaknesses? Often, people come to me. Again, what I do most more than anything else is do men's conferences. That's what I do. And often men come up and they say, Father, and they're struggling with all their sin just like anybody else. And I say, what's your problem with this? And he goes, Father, I've been struggling. I said, stop, repeat. Father, I've been struggling. Stop, repeat. Father, I've been stop, repeat. Father, would you let me finish? I said, what's the problem with what you're saying? I don't know, you won't let me finish. Let me tell you, Father, you have been struggling. Instead of surrendering that to the Holy Spirit. You don't have the power, but the Spirit does. So you need to get out of the way. You know, when John the Baptist talked about he must increase and I must decrease, that's the core of what it is to be a disciple. So often, fathers, that we think the way we were taught, the way we think, the way I have my theology, whether I'm traditional, whether I'm conservative, whether I'm liberal, whether this is the way it should be for everybody else. But that comes from the self. We need to surrender to the Spirit and have the mind of Christ. And we get the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And so that helps me to really focus, am I doing this? Like years ago, again, when I was being a lifer in seminary, I was at the seminary, college seminary, and a friend asked me, came up to me and says, hey, Larry, we're going to have a Life in the Spirit seminar. Would you like to go to the Life in the Spirit seminar? And even then, I did a holy hour every day. And I says, no, I'm not going to go to any Life in the Spirit seminar. And he says, well, why? And I says, because that's not my prayer style. You know, I spend a holy hour, and I'm silent, and I like to be still. That's where I do my thing. That's what I like to do. He looked at me, and he says, oh, excuse me, Larry. I thought you were going to be ordained for all the people of God. Not just your prayer style. You miserable son of a... But that was a true statement. Sometimes we sit there, and this is the way I like to pray. Like, I have a men's conference coming into the diocese, the first men's conference. And I started this movement called 2232 Men. 2232 Men is Luke chapter 22, verse 32, and it says, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And after you have recovered, you will strengthen your brothers. Huh? And so the bishop's going to be there because I said, I don't like bishops. I can't stand bishops that just show up at the end of the day and, you know, say mass. And here I am. So when our new bishop came in, I said, Bishop, we're going to have a men's conference. You need to be there all day. The men will have no respect for a bishop. And this was before you had the smell of the sheep on you from Francis. For a guy who just shows up at the end of the day and says, I'm your bishop. Bishop, you need to be there in the morning, put out the Blessed Sacrament. You need to listen to all the talks. You need to hear confessions with the rest of us. God forbid the bishop hears confessions with the rest of us. And then you say the closing mass. He said, okay, Larry, good. And I says, but, I says, write a letter to all the priests encouraging them to come hear confessions and to support this. I cannot tell you how many priests have been dead set against it. When our people, when our guys, we try to get parish captains, they'll call the pastors and says, Father, no, not in my parish. I will not support such a movement. Really, Father? So this is about you and what you support instead of being obedient to your bishop who says to support it because this isn't your theology or you don't agree with it. Is that the type of priest that we can become? What we agree with, we support. What we don't agree with, that's garbage. Is that the mind of Christ? Or is that our own pride? Coming in and saying, I know better than anybody else. What they do over there is stupid. I don't agree with it. And how pride settles into our lives. The way to combat that is the Holy Spirit. I want the mind of Christ, not my mind. I need the attitude of Christ. I need to be that servant. And so, when we have that daily surrender, then the Spirit can do great things, huh? Again, when Jesus was called by the Spirit, he says, the Spirit that God gives you, and this will go back to Timothy in a second, he said, the Spirit that God gives us is no cowardly spirit, but one that makes us, the old translation, which I love, the old translation says, the Spirit that God gives us is no cowardly spirit, but one that makes us strong, loving, and wise. The new translation we read a couple weeks ago was power, love, and self-control. That's nice. But the old translation, my Bible, you can see, is the old translation of the New American from 1970, whatever it is. But when we talk about that, when the Spirit comes upon us, he gives us power to be strong. And what do we need strength for? To lay down our life for our people. That every day when we wake up in the morning, you know the call for God, from God, is to die. He wants you and me every day to be a martyr. That's what a witness is. So when you and I wake up, we know that what God's calling us to do is to die to ourselves. Now again, that's really hard when sometimes, I have friends, like, again, my spiritual director, I took up golf years ago, and I was talking about, you know, priests like to golf, I don't know up here, you know, I said to be a good priest when I was ordained, you have to learn to golf and drink scotch. I don't drink scotch, and I can't golf, but anyway, so I sat there and I was talking about, oh, Pete, I'm going golfing, and he says, if you value your immortal soul, you will not become one of those type priests. I said, oh, shut up, Pete. Like, golfing's going to send me to hell. He says, no, but living every day for yourself will. Oh, shut up, really? Because, again, priesthood can become the most selfish life in the world. We get things our way. You know, people are afraid of us, so we say, oh, shut up, this is the way it is in my parish. Okay, Father. And so we get to do things. We can live alone. We don't have to share the remote control with anybody ever. You know, it's my remote control. I'll watch what I want to do. Huh? And so it can be a selfish life. Or, what do you want me to do today, God? And what Pope Francis has been in killing me, you know, he just made the new head of the Office of the Poor in Rome, a young guy who's only in his 50s and he's young in the congregation. He's usually a cardinal, and well, he will be a cardinal, but he moved him up. And what the Holy Father said to him, he says, and I guess it just hit me between the eyes. The Holy Father, you know what he used to do every night when he was a cardinal? He says, I would walk out every night looking for the poor to minister to them. He says, now that I'm Pope, I can't do that. So I need you soon to be cardinal, to walk out the streets of Rome and take care of the poor. Can you imagine when the church starts reaching out and walking the streets of Rome, not even smiling at people, and I'm telling you, that happened all the time, but now reaching out to take care of the poor, because that's what the Holy Father wants. That'll kill us, gentlemen. When we want to sit home and watch TV, and our Holy Father says, I want you to go out and look for the poor. Yesterday, my scripture, when I woke up in the morning, was Zacchaeus. And it says, the Son of Man came to seek out that which was lost. If every day you and I wake up and say, I got to seek out that which is lost, that'll go against any laziness in our lives. Because I got to go out and seek the lost people. I don't know if you've read the book yet. There's good and bad about the book called Rebuilt. Everybody's out of here yet? Is it hit this diocese? Some places like us, everybody in the parish got the book. I mean, I made everybody in the parish council and that read it. And the biggest thing about the book Rebuilt, it's about a pastor in Baltimore who went to Chicago and start using some of the Protestant stuff. And Cardinal Dolan wrote the introduction to the book. And he says, you want a live parish? Read the book. And so I thought, okay, here we go, another book. But well, one of the things it did say, a lot of it, you know, like some people say, he doesn't work during the week, he only works on weekends, which would be a good deal. But anyway, it says, it's the weekend, stupid. And the main thing about the book is that we as a church must be more concerned about the lost than we are about the people who are there every year, every week. And so sometimes we sit there and say, this is my church, which, fathers, it is not. You and I are not the pastors of our community. Jesus is, and he's using you. So we can never say, this is my parish, and in my parish, this is the way it's done. Sorry, that ain't what God wants of you and me. This is God's parish, and I'm his instrument, and I do what he wants me to do. Period. That's an altogether different reality. And so he says, when people come into your parish, do they feel welcome? Or do you just sing the songs that you people, if you're going to come into this parish, you're going to sing this song. This is the way we do things here. Is it a place that's open for the lost? Or is it a place that's just for the few who are in our little group? When the Spirit came upon the apostles, they didn't just stay huddled together. That's what they did before the Holy Spirit came. They were huddled together in fear, and they prayed with Mary, great thing. But when the Spirit came upon them, they didn't stay there huddled. They went out. In fact, when they were on fire, people thought they were drunk, remember? They're drunk. Oh, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk. Huh? And so, but something happened. When the Spirit came upon them, they became other-centered. They became witnesses. They left their own little huddle, and they said, I got to go out and do other things. So what does it mean, fathers, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and me? What does that look like in our life? The question I want us to reflect on this day before our next talk is, do I have a life that's surrendered to the Spirit? What does that look like? Do I have, it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Do you feel that power in your life? Or do you only feel weakness and you're, you know, oh, I'm so weak, I'm so tired. And again, we are. If we just look at ourselves, we should be, you know, dragging. But when we look at the Spirit and we surrender, then he says, you'll receive power to be my witness. So do I have that power that comes from the Holy Spirit? Or am I just focused on me? You know, again, when I became pastor, I've been pastor of an inner city parish now for 12 years. And when we took it over, it was a dying parish. It was an old German parish, and there was less than 200 people there on a weekend. Huh? Now we have about 800 families. All our masses are packed. We have adoration. We didn't have one youth in religious ed. Now we have 180 kids in religious ed. The parish is kind of, I love being in my parish. Huh? And when we were there, we used to have in our diocese, I don't know how it is in your diocese or different things, we used to have, what do you call that when you're thrown out every 12 years or so? Term limits, huh? And so it was the big fight amongst the clergy about term limits, huh? And so I was newly ordained, I was new pastor. And so we're talking about it because though people wanted term limits 20-some years ago when I was first ordained, these were the younger guys who wanted the bigger parishes. So they said, we have to implement term limits. So they got them in. So the older guys were thrown out of the parishes and they took it in. Well, it came up again because after this 12 years, the guys who got those bigger parishes wanted to stay. And so they says, well, let's really look at term limits. Oh, sure, now. So we voted them out on purpose. Just say, you're the one that voted in. We're going to get it out. But anyway, so then we were voting on it again. And so the debate happened amongst all the clergy at the clergy things as they do. And a guy got up and he says, you know, fathers, after 12 years, I think I've given everything that I have. All my talents are done. I need to be refocused and go focus on somewhere else. And everybody goes, yeah, that's a good thing. I'm a stupid little priest. And I got up and I says, fathers, I really don't care about my talents. I care about being a father. And you don't get a new father every 12 years. And statistically, it's been proven that the longer a priest is in a parish, the more vocations in that to come from the parish. Because there's a relationship. We don't relationship. Now, whether you agree with that or don't agree, that's not the point. The point of it is, we don't focus on ourselves and our talents. We focus on what the Spirit does within us. This isn't about our ministry, huh? It's about the Spirit's ministry. It's about this is his work that he's using you and me to do. His work, not my work. His work. And so when that happens, you can tell by the fruit of the parish. You know, and again, the question is, the focus on what is the fruit of your parish? Huh? Again, a couple weeks ago when I was in Vancouver, I was with a priest who was doing his parish mission. He had over 3,800 families in his parish. But he had given up at least 5 years ago. You know, he was close to retirement age, and he had just given up. You could tell because at the parish office, I would go in there throughout the day, and nobody was ever in the parish office. I said, Father, how is this possible? You have 3,800 families, and nobody's ever in your office. I don't like them to bother me, Larry. Oh, well, that came out. Did that ever? That came out. Huh? That's the thing. So 3,800 families, nobody would even go to the offices for just regular things, and they had a school there and everything else. And I just thought, oh, geez. It's just what happens when we become focused on our ministry and what we want and what we don't want instead of God's will. And every day when he calls me to die to myself so I can live for him and I can be his instrument. So fathers, the promise of God is you will be my witnesses and you will receive power to be an icon of Jesus Christ, the priest. We need to be people who surrender daily to the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, surrender and do His will. May you know His love today and forever. Amen. 29 minutes, 30 seconds. So again, I'll give these, I'll pass them out. Those who want them can take them. There's plenty of them. So just one prayer, and you can use, you don't have to use this prayer. You can do it yourself. You can do the traditional prayer. You can use the prayer of St. Augustine. There's lots of them in our tradition. So have a great day. I guess we don't see you together till when? Father will tell you.